Father, I pray that you will use me to speak your word faithfully this morning and allow these students to hear your voice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is good to see you. It's good to once again have an opportunity to talk to you about the most important things in the world. I've told you all before, I know we've got a couple of new students, but for those of you who've been here longer than a month or two, you know that almost every time I come here in this capacity, I let you know that the most important thing, period, is what? The glory of God. The glory of God. Rather than you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:31. We must do everything soli Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. And the reason I believe that and the reason I know that is, well, there are a couple of reasons. The first is the testimony of the Spirit of God within me. Now, hey, eyes forward. Eyes forward. Okay? The first reason I know that I've got to do everything to the glory of God alone is the testimony of the Spirit of God within me. You see, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that God the Father sent His only begotten Son into the world to save His people from their sins, and that I'm one of those people, that Jesus bore my punishment on the cross. And because I believe that, because I believe that Jesus also rose on the third day, Jesus has also given me the gift of His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in me and assures me that everything we do, we must do to the glory of God alone. But how does the Holy Spirit do that? How does the Holy Spirit assure me? Do I hear the voice of God in my head telling me what to do? No, I don't. I never have. Do I hear God speak? Does God speak to me through miracles and visions and dreams? No, not that I can say. Does the Holy Spirit rent a giant billboard on the side of the road and let me know what He wants me to do? That's just silly. No. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to me and speaks to us through His Word. In Psalm 119:105, it says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So it shows me where to go. It shows me what to do, that everything I do glorifies God. That is why the principle of sola scriptura, Scripture alone, is so important. And that's why last time, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, I told you that the most foundational thing we must believe is what we believe about the Scriptures, because how we treat God's Word ultimately reflects how we treat God Himself. If we treat the Bible rightly, and it tells us what to do, we're going to be honoring God. And there's a passage from the book of James I want to read to kind of illustrate that to you this morning. It's in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25, and this is what it says. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." Now, this passage begins with James, who is the brother of Jesus, by the way, half-brother of Jesus. And he's writing about a specific sin, and it's not a sin to ever be angry, but it is a sin when you are angry for the wrong reasons. And Paul actually says, be angry and do not sin in Ephesians. But it is a sin to be angry for the wrong reasons, because when we're angry for the wrong reasons, it leads us to do other things that are sinful. other things that are not right. So, you know, often we open our mouths and we say the wrong things when we're angry. We use our words to express our anger. And most of the time act in ways that don't please God. So James says, be quick to hear or listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. Why? Because the anger of man, he says, does not achieve the righteousness of God. In other words, when we get mad, it's practically always for reasons that aren't pleasing to God, for reasons that aren't godly. It's for reasons that are not right, that are not righteous like God is righteous. So what we are to do when those times come, when we want to get angry and even express ourselves in ways that are sinful, well, instead of using our words, you and I, as believers in Jesus, need to go to God's Word. Put aside all filthiness, James writes. Whatever is dirty in your heart, get rid of it. Before we respond, you know, everything that remains of wickedness, get rid of it. Before we respond in anger toward other people, we have to look at ourselves and make sure we are not in sin. Make sure we're not wrong. Make sure we're not sinning. We have to get rid of any evil, any sin, any wickedness, any filthiness we find. God creates in us clean hearts. That's what David says in Psalm 51. He actually prays that God would create in him a clean heart. And that was after he had committed a very egregious sin. Before we get angry with others, we've got to kind of sweep out our own hearts, sweep the dirt out. And James adds, in humility, receive the word implanted. In humility, receive the word implanted. What that means, students, is that we have to humble ourselves. We, you know, almost all the time when we get angry, it is because we are not humble before God. We are thinking too much about ourselves and what will make us happy. And we're not thinking enough about God, and we're not thinking enough about what will glorify Him, and we're not thinking enough about others either. So we first have to humble ourselves, and as we do that, we receive the word implanted. Now, two things about that phrase. First, the word is God's word we're talking about here. It's implanted in us by someone else. Now, we can take out our Bibles, guys. We can take out our Bibles and we can read them. And anybody can do that. Anybody can pick up a Bible and read it. And anybody can accumulate knowledge in their head about what the Bible says. But it takes someone else to actually take this word and implant it in our hearts. So the Holy Spirit is that someone else. The Holy Spirit is the one who implants that word and we receive it. And we will if we are humbling ourselves. We will if we are thinking more of God and less of ourselves. What will make God happy? What will please God and less about what will please Matt? More of others, less of ourselves. We must in humility receive the word implanted by the Holy Spirit. Because what James says, it is able to save our souls. What that means for the Christian is that the Holy Spirit uses the word of God, which He implants in us to save us, to preserve us, to keep us from doing evil. Keep us from doing what is wrong. And doing what is right instead. And what are we to do right? Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. This is the difference, students, between someone who is a true disciple of Jesus Christ and someone who tries to convince himself and others that he is a disciple of Jesus Christ. When Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John out of the boats, and we read about this in Mark, and you could apply this to the rest of the disciples too. He told them to repent, to turn away from their sins, to turn away from what makes them happy and start glorifying God, to repent, and to believe in the gospel, that Jesus is the Son of God, that what Jesus is bringing is truth, that what Jesus is bringing is good news, that He is the Lord and He is the Savior. Repent and believe, and what else? Follow me, He said. Follow Him. They would not have been His disciples if they did not follow Him. And if they didn't follow Him, it would have shown that they really didn't believe in Him and that they really hadn't repented of their sins. But they did follow Him. Jesus spoke those words to them and they did them. They were doers of the Word, not just hearers. And I know it may not seem so bad for you now, but trust me, and the adults in the room will probably back me up on this, but we live in a spiritual desert. What I mean by that is, you know, there are little pockets of spiritual life out there, little pockets of water, but by and large, in the world we live in today, and that includes America, there's not a whole lot of spiritual life. It's not real. It's a lot of hearers of the Word, but not doers. But real disciples of Jesus, real Christians, prove to be doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude or deceive or try to, you know, not even try, they just trick themselves. Real disciples of Jesus will have what the Apostle Paul calls in the book of Romans the obedience of faith. Faith that obeys. And how will we know how to obey? Well, I go back to the fact that Jesus is not here physically with me right now. If He were here, I'd get off the stage and let Him talk. But we have His Word. We have the Bible. The Scriptures. It's the only Word He has given us. And that's okay because we know what about the Bible? Something I talked about last time, that it is inspired by God. It's actually His words. That it's inerrant, it's true and trustworthy in all that it says. It's authoritative because it's God's Word and He's the King and what He says goes. And it's sufficient. It is enough for us. And we become doers of the Word, students, when we hold to that principle of sola scriptura in our lives. When we know that this is our authority. This is the one and only resource that is never wrong. And we obey what Jesus says in here. It's as if He's actually speaking to us. Because guess what? He is. Through His Word, which the Spirit implants in us, so believe it. Don't be the guy or the girl James writes about here. The one who hears and deludes himself. Who looks in the mirror at his face and then walks off and forgets what kind of person he is. Don't call yourself a Christian, but then go off and not obey God's Word. That's what that's talking about. Don't be the kind of person who forgets what kind of person you are, or at least that you say you are. Otherwise, you'll prove that you're not of God, that you're a slave to sin instead of someone who Jesus has freed to live in Him. That's what the law of liberty is talking about. If you are a doer of the Word, James says, you'll be blessed in what you'll do. And that doesn't mean that you'll live your best life now. That doesn't mean that, you know, every day will be a vacation. Sometimes, almost all the time really, being a disciple of Jesus is hard work. But if you are a doer of God's Word, someone who believes and lives out this idea of sola scriptura, He will bless you. And you can believe that because He's trustworthy. Everything we believe as Christians, students, has implications for how we live our lives as Christians. Everything we believe matters. If you believe sola scriptura is foundational to everything else you believe, as I believe it is, then you will strive to do what the Word of God says. And that's what I am trying to do. Hopefully, I don't do it perfectly. That's what I hope you try to do by the grace of God who gives us the gift of faith in Christ alone for the glory of God alone. Let's pray. Father, help us not just to believe sola scriptura is important. Help us not just to know in our heads that Your Word is important. But help us to know it and believe it in our hearts and live it out in our lives. I pray that these students will do that. I pray their teachers will as well. Father, give us the grace to be doers of the word for the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.